Welcome to part one of a new series, and really excited about this as we enter into the Christmas season, this series that we've entitled Silent Night. After that little Silent Night, we have to wake you up, right? That's a little peaceful there, isn't it? Just want to highlight the video about the trip to India. We're having a mission opportunity, and so excited about this opportunity with Pravlik and his family that is there, and he's affording us opportunity. And so we're just putting that out there. There may be those of you that would be interested in or able to go on a mission trip. And I believe a mission trip can change your life. And so that's exciting. We'll be telling you more about that as that gets closer. And also be sure and contact Pravlik for details regarding that. We also have designers that are right now in the Ukraine, and also are in the process of adopting two more children to add to their, how many they have now? Seven, this will be nine or something, I don't know, but 46. but I just want to encourage you, be praying for the Zioners and also for their children, their kids that are here, kind of fending for themselves. They got some older kids that are taking care of the household and some neighbors helping and some friends helping. And if you want to help with food and help these kids out while their parents are away trying to get a couple more kids into the family, well, we appreciate that. And also, having said that, let me just mentioned, I talked about this before, and that is that we are going to be receiving a legacy offering today. And we've been telling you this for a few weeks. I'm hoping that you've been praying about this and what God would have you to give. And so we're going to receive at the end of the service, it'll be our regular tithes and offerings for those of you that call this place home. If you're new here, don't feel obligated to be a part of this. We just are so thankful you're here. We just want you to know that there's an opportunity also to give towards adoption of these children that are going to come and be a part of this family that you're going to get to know, that you're going to help them learn English, you know what I'm saying? And so it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for our church. And so today we'll tell you a little bit more how we're going to go about doing that. But let me also mention as well, and you have in your worship guide, I should have in your worship guide, these acts, what we call acts of kindness cards that we used last year, and we're offering them to you again. Now, in your worship guide, you have one of those cards, but those cards, there are more. There's stacks of them at the connection table here right as you go out the door, and we would be so thankful if you could take some of those and utilize those. Now, the way those works, many of you already know how those work, but it's where you just let God lead you. Now, we call them random acts of kindness, but really, sometimes it ends up being a God connection and a God thing, that God orchestrates things, where you use those to bless somebody. One classic scenario is you're going through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. Not today, they're closed today, but you go through Chick-fil-A, and you're at the drive-thru, and you say, hey, I want to pay for the car behind me. But you always want to attach an act of kindness to God. And so we allow, what you do is you just leave them, the person at the window, that card and say, just give them this as they come by, tell them their bill's paid for. And for some people, I'm telling you, God has used this in amazing ways where there's somebody that was really at their wit's end and they just needed something from God. They had all bad all day and all week and all month and maybe all year. And now they just saying, God, where are you? And then you show up with a card and with an act of kindness that shows them, look, God loves you. And so I encourage you to use these, and I can't wait to hear some of the stories that's going to come back from those as we use those. I actually shared with another church here in Charlotte what we were doing. He said, oh, how do I get that? And so we sent him a file on how to print, you know, what to print, and he customized that for his church, and he used those, and he called me up and said, I can't believe, I just gave this girl an extra tip, you know, and she came chasing me out in the parking lot and crying and saying, you don't know what this meant to me. So listen, let your light shine, right? So really excited about that. So be sure and utilize those. Let's get into this series that we've entitled Silent Night. And Silent Night is a song that we sing. We'll probably sing that in a couple of weeks here as we conclude our last service before Christmas with a candlelighting thing, and that's usually the song that accompanies a candlelighting ceremony. But actually, a lot of the Christmas songs that we sing actually sometimes are a bit odd, to be honest with you. I mean, and a lot of times we use words that we really don't know really what they mean when it gets right down to it. I mean, does anybody know what a round yawn virgin is? I mean, I just don't know. What's a round, what does yawn mean? I don't know. Or the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? That is a weird song. You know what I'm saying? Because in that song it says, said the little lamb to the shepherd boy. So the lamb is talking to the shepherd boy. You know, I mean, somebody here needs therapy or they've been in the field too long, right? I heard comedian Tim Hawkins point this one out, you know, and then there's this lyric, a child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. I mean, what's wrong with that? He's shivering and he's cold. How about a blanket? Come on. How about a bowl of soup? You know? I mean, he's got pneumonia, but he's loaded. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Silent Night. This is another thing that, look at this song, Silent Night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child. But the fact of the matter is, that song really, truth be told, is not accurate. It was not a silent night. And if you were there on the scene witnessing what was happening, the last thing that you would probably call this night was calm. It was actually a night of great turmoil. The fact is that probably a lot of us really don't realize all of the details about that night. Now, we know the fact that there was a couple, they were having a baby, and they couldn't find a room, okay? But there was more to it, a lot more to that. That was just the beginning of it. Scholars actually say, those that know the history of what happened at that time that study this, scholars say that Mary was probably somewhere between the age of 13 and 17. And she was a part of an arranged marriage. It was an arranged marriage. It was planned thing. It was to a guy who was probably in excess of 30 years of age. Did you realize that? And I mean, think about this. I mean, that right there is enough cause for turmoil in and of itself. And the fact that it was an arranged marriage, planned marriage, there's a good possibility that they really didn't know each other or really possibly even love each other. In those days, the guys, they would have to make sure that they were in a position where they had enough money financially, they were ready and able to get married. And so Joseph was older. Actually, we know that he was older because even when Jesus was on the cross, he was not there. He had already died. Otherwise, would he refer to John, you know, your mother, you know, take her as your mother, take care of my mother? Because his father, Joseph, he was not there. So here we have this situation. And then they were not yet married, and Mary is pregnant. And in that culture, I want you to see that it created a scenario where she would have been completely ostracized by her own family, completely rejected by her family. And so you can imagine this young teenage girl engaged to this guy that she didn't know and who was much older, pregnant, and she goes up and tells people, trust me, the Holy Spirit did it. I mean, think about it. Would you have believed her? I mean, no, we wouldn't believe. We'd say, yeah, okay, right, okay, if you say so, and go on. Think about what she had that was going on here. And then, on top of that, they were traveling, and they were going to pay taxes. I mean, put that on top of the plate, on top of everything else that we're going through. This story is actually filled with heartache. And it was desperate situations that surrounded this story. Let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 2. There are message notes there in your worship guide, and we'll have some blanks that you can fill in as we go along. But look at that first scripture there found in Luke chapter 2. It begins this way. While they were there, so they had now arrived from their travels. They had arrived at that point. And by the way, they got there on a donkey. Okay? How many women would like to be 9 months pregnant riding a donkey? I don't think so. Come on. And so here was. So there was probably some physical pain going on along with this, of course. And so it says that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in clothes, or as we say in King James Version, in swaddling clothes or in cloths, and placed him in a manger. Now, isn't that word manger such a sweet word that we throw around at Christmas time? In a manger. But actually, a manger was a feeding trough. It was a place where just a few minutes ago, the face of pigs, goats, come on, and cows and horses had just been. And what mother wants to place her newborn baby in that place? I'm telling you, it wasn't just all was calm and all is bright, right? And so here they were, and here's this situation. And it says that she had to put him in that manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And here's what I'm trying to do today, and that is to describe to you that even though we sing it as Silent Night, all is calm, all is bright, what a beautiful night, oh, look at the nativity, that is simply not accurate. The fact is, that is the whole season, the whole circumstances around the night Jesus was born was filled with turmoil, and it begs the question, why? Why? Why would God send his only begotten son into this world, into that kind of a scenario? Was he not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Could he have not come in some royal fashion? Could he have not had better accommodations and better circumstances? So the question is why? And I'm telling you that God does nothing by accident. He does nothing by accident. In fact, this was all intentional because he wanted to send his son, the one who would relate to mankind in the worst possible scenario so he could relate to you and me. So he could be the one that you and I run to. That could now say, I understand what you're going through. So it's not just this God in heaven who sees you as this project of this miserable wretch on earth, but no, so that this God in heaven who can come to you and say, I understand what you're going through. So that wherever you are, if you've got tax issues or you've got financial issues or you know, you got donkey issues or whatever kind of issues you have going on, Jesus can say, I've been there. I know what you're going through. When you feel ostracized, when you feel humiliated, when you're rejected, when you're embarrassed, I understand where you are. And so I want to take this scenario of Silent Night, and we got to ask this question. So how do we get in there of having really a silent night? In other words, how do we have peace on earth? How do we have peace on earth? In fact, that phrase, peace on earth, is a phrase that we often use at Christmas time. A lot of us have it on our Christmas cards that we send out. You know, y'all going to be already sending out Christmas cards, peace on earth, you know. And so, but I want us to think about this phrase, peace on earth. And if you look at the message notes here, subtitled, there's a question mark there. In fact, when you look up scripture of that phrase, peace on earth, in all the Bible, listen to this, it only shows up in one place in scripture. Now I have it there for you in Luke chapter 12, verse 21. It's the only place in scripture this is found. And it's Jesus speaking here. And he says, do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? And he says, no. Nope, I did not come to bring peace on earth. In fact, I came to bring division. Put that on your Christmas card. You know, Merry Christmas, there you go. Hey, I just come to bring division. Happy division to you. That's what Jesus said. It's the only place in Scripture you find it. Look at this. Here's the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is the concept of peace on earth doesn't even exist. And I want to tell you why that is in just a moment. But the truth is, that is the reality. The song got it wrong. The verse here got it right. And the truth is, very few of us would look at this earth and say that there is peace on it. In fact, in the past 3,500 years, there has only been, get this, 286 years of peace, or what we call peace, or times where there was actually not a war happening on the earth. Out of 3,500 years, only 286 when there was not a war happening. In fact, right now, men and women in our armed forces are around the world in different places fighting for yours and our freedom. And I think that deserves, come on, you do better than that. There's very little promise of peace on earth. In fact, Jesus said this in John chapter 16 and 33 there in your notes. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now notice, he says, in me you may have peace. But he says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And so Jesus puts it plain right there and there. Here's what I want us to do right now. I want us to identify some things that actually steal our peace. And I'm going to look at some scripture over the next 2 weeks and look at the concepts of really what peace is and figure out from God's word, really, how do you find it then? Because here's what I do know. I believe that God wants us to have peace. And I believe you can encounter peace, and you can encounter peace if you don't have peace today. Before you leave this place, you can leave this place encountering the peace of God, all right? So here's what I want to do. I want us to look at, first of all, I want us to identify some things that actually steal our peace. And the power word in these is the word already given there in your notes. It's not the blank. It's actually the word giving there. That's the power word. But number one, unavoidable circumstances. Unavoidable circumstances. It's things that you and I didn't create. It just kind of happens to us. It's like, you know, can I work hard to lock it, to secure it, to put a safeguard around it, to ensure it doesn't happen, and it still happens. There's things that are uncontrollable. We try to take care of our bodies, eat right, do right, and then we still have physical problems and sickness comes. Have situations in your life. You go to bed at night, everything's fine. You wake up the next morning, there's a stroke. Uncontrollable circumstances. There's times when we're in situations where there's just no way out. There's no way out. I remember getting in a car accident some years ago. I've only had one, y'all. Only had one, and it wasn't my fault. I was sitting on a street. There was a car in front of me. There was a car behind me. It was a single lane. There was a hill coming down out of an apartment complex. A guy comes down the hill. I had nowhere to go. He just comes down the hill and decides not to stop. Decides to cream in the side of my car. Uncontrolled. It's out of your control. And I'm saying that's how sometimes things hit us in life. It's uncontrollable or unavoidable circumstances. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 20. Disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruin. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. You know, it just happens. Life happens. And sometimes we feel helpless when it's just simply unavoidable. Look at number two. Number two is unbearable people. Unbearable people. That's that person that's actually sitting next to you right now? No, I'm just kidding. Unbearable people. I mean, you know, sometimes people are just mean, right? And I'm just getting you ready, as we have to do this every year, because you're going into the Christmas holiday of Christmas cheer. Right? 'Tis the season to be jolly. Yeah. I don't think so. You go out there and you run right into it. You take somebody's parking space in a shopping center when everybody's trying to get in one space, and you get there before they do, but they had their eyes on that, and you pull in ahead of them, get ready, because you're going to find some Christmas cheer right up, you know, I'm just saying, face to face, right? I remember one season Kim went to the mall and parked, and she thought she had the space ahead of this guy. She came out. How many tires did they slash? It slashed a bunch of her tires. I don't understand. People are mean, I'm telling you. You know, unbearable people. Psalm 109 says this, with words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. Sometimes these things will steal our peace. A third thing that steals our peace, I'm just identifying some things here, is unexplainable problems. Unexplainable problems. And there's times in our life we want answers. Why is it that my loved one was sick, had cancer, believed for God to heal them, and seemed that they were healed, and it was in remission, or it was gone, and doctors recognized it was gone, but then it comes back, and they still die. Why? Unexplainable, unexplainable problems. Don't understand it. Here's what I do know, that, and that is that we can trust God. I believe there is coming a day, you know, when we get to heaven, it's going to make a lot more sense. And in the meantime, there's an assurance that, and here's the fact that matter, we want all the answers a lot of times, and that will drive us crazy, but I'm okay with the fact that God is smarter than I am. I'm okay with the fact that His ways are higher than my ways. I do not have to have all the answers, because if I had all the answers and I could understand it all, that means God would fit in here, and you do not want to serve a God that would fit in here, right? Trust me, you don't want to serve that kind of God. There's things that don't make sense, but here's what, I've shared this before, but here's what I believe. When we get to heaven, it's going to make sense. Our eyes are going to be open. And instead of, when we get to heaven, instead of hearing the hallelujah chorus, I believe we're going to hear this gasp of, oh, that does make sense. I understand now. You did know what you were doing, God. But in the meantime, we use this thing called faith, and we trust Him. There's comfort in that. But we all have questions. Even Jesus asked questions. In Matthew 27, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even He had questions. Fourth thing that steals our peace oftentimes is uncontrollable worry. Uncontrollable worry. And let's be honest, all of us have experienced uncontrollable worry. We just worry in different ways. You know, women worry about, you know, am I going to have enough gifts around the tree? Am I going to get everybody covered? Am I going to get everything done in time? Men are worrying, how am I going to pay for all this? And I don't mean to be stereotypical, but in some houses that's switched, okay? I'm just saying, okay? Those roles could be interchangeable. But we worry. And this is what I do know, that all worry is crippling. It's crippling. It will flat out debilitate you. Worry will make you a different person than what God designed you to be. You go to a party, a Christmas party, where you're supposed to be celebrating and have fun and enjoy yourself and be relaxed and have a good time, but instead you're worrying. And it changes who you are. You get away and you say, why did I act that way? Why can I not relax? Why am I so stiff? Why am I so tight? Because of worry. Worry. Jeremiah chapter 6 says this, we have heard reports about them and our hands hang limp. Anguish has gripped us. Pain like that of a woman in labor worrying about something, it will completely paralyze you. So what do we do? How in the middle of all this are we going to find peace and peace on earth? And I know what many of you are probably thinking, Pastor, you're wrong. The Bible has, you missed the scripture. You didn't do enough research. There is a place there that talks about peace on earth. I see it every year on Charlie Brown Christmas. And it's Linus saying it, and that's the scripture, it's peace on earth. And so I got it here in your notes. Let's look at what it really says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And he says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. And if you're familiar with the Charlie Brown traditional King James Version, he says, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But it never says peace on earth. It says on earth there is peace to whom God's favor rest. One translation puts it this way, and on earth peace to those who have His goodwill, which is probably the most accurate translation of the original Greek. And on earth peace to those who have His goodwill. I want you to get a hold of this. Get what this is saying. Meaning that there is peace while you're on this earth that is filled with turmoil to those on whose God's favor rests. Are you getting that? Where God's presence is. Which would beg the question then, peace comes to those on whom God's favor rests, then how do I get God's favor then? Because I need some peace, right? And I'm going to teach you and show you for the next 2 weeks how that can happen, all right? And so if your expectation is for there to be peace on earth, listen to me, everybody, you're going to be waiting a long time. Are you hearing me? In fact, the Bible says that there's coming a day when they say, peace, peace, and then the Bible says, and then sudden destruction, right? So you're going to be waiting a long time if you're waiting for peace on earth. But if you expect that there could be peace, get this, in you while on this troubled earth, that's available. That's available to those on whom His favor rests. So what should we be working on? Is not getting peace, but rather getting favor. How do we get God on our side? How do I get His favor on my life? And you can look through Scripture. You can find hundreds of Scriptures that talks about peace, but there's some Scriptures that actually talks about peace and at the same time how that peace came because of the favor of God upon your life. And that's what I want to look at here together. Some Scripture that shows that how favor and peace go together, because I'm convinced that God wants to deliver to us peace. If you've been in turmoil and tied up and tighter than, come on, listen, you can have peace. And so today, I want us to look at this together. Get this. Jesus said, I've got a gift for you. There's a gift for you today. Everybody look at me. There's a gift for you today. It's a Christmas gift. It's wrapped up. It's a gift that Jesus wants to give us today, and it's ready. Look at John chapter 14, verse 27. The Living Bible puts it this way. I am leaving you a gift, Jesus said. And here's the gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. It's a peace that the world doesn't offer. The world offers a temporary peace. The world offers different ways of finding peace. They offer peace that comes through drugs or through pills or through alcohol or through therapy, and all these things are temporary. But listen, there is a peace that God gives. The world doesn't know how to give peace. In fact, if you were to go online and you were to Google peace, peace of mind, you may find some crazy stuff online. In fact, some hilarious stuff. If you go online, you'll find this pop up. Funeral home service. That's pretty good, isn't it? Peace, I need some peace of mind. Let me Google peace of mind on computer. Funeral home service. Another one. Here's another that comes up. Rock group. Here's another one. Fragrance or perfume. That will give you peace of mind. All right? And here's an hilarious one. Here's one that comes up under peace of mind when you Google it. A warranty service for your toilet. Peace. It's warranted. It's guaranteed. All right? But look at this. God has a better peace for you, all right? He has real peace, not as the world gives. He says, I give to you. So there's four scriptures that I want to pass off to you. And so I encourage you to dive into these this week, this Christmas, better yet for the rest of your life. And the world can get as crazy as it wants to, but you can find peace in the middle of it. Are you hearing me? You and I can find peace in the middle of it. So if you want to find God's favor that results in peace, the first thing you need to do is this. These are four points there on your notes that you can write down. Number one, receive God's pardon. Receive God's pardon. Because anyone that's ever sinned, and by the way, that's every one of us. If you've ever been involved in sin, if you're keeping sin, and it's unrepentant sin, habitual sin, you know that it's messing you up on the inside. Psychologists say that the greatest source of stress is guilt. And even if nobody knows, you know, it's tearing you up on the inside. And Jesus came to relieve that. He came to pardon you. Think of that word pardon, and you hear of that sometimes in our day about being pardoned. It's where a governor or a president, one in authority, with a stroke of their pen, you don't even have to pay for it, just a stroke of your pen, you're pardoned and you're free. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ, with a stroke of his pen, has the authority to pardon you, and with a stroke of his pen to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and give you new life in him today. Amen, everybody? Pardon. We need to experience pardon. Some of you here need that today. You need to experience the pardon. And I got news for you. You'll never be able to pardon yourself. You'll never be able to pardon yourself. You'll never be good enough as a good enough person to get rid of your own guilt. But with the stroke of his pen, he can erase every sin. He can remove your sin from you as if it has never happened. Bible says he removes your sin as far as the east is from the west, or as he throws your sin into the sea of his forgetfulness to be remembered against you no more. That's good stuff. Pardon. Pardon. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified, and I love that word, just as if you have never sinned is what that means, justified. Just as you've been justified through faith, we have, look what happens, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace comes through his pardon, through him pardoning you, through our faith in him that he paid our sin debt for us on the cross. He went to the cross and died for us and paid our sin debt so we wouldn't have to. And he says, you're free. And all we need to do is believe upon him and accept that free gift. Some of us need to experience that. We don't need a church necessarily. We don't need another church service. We don't need religion. But what we need to be is be pardoned. You need somebody with authority to do it and set you free. We need to be pardoned. Number two, run to God's presence. Run to God's presence. And that means in the midst of the Christmas chaos, in the midst of all that turmoil, we need to run to his presence. What that may mean for you is that when you pull in that parking space and that person's yelling at you, or, you know, well, you could get out and get another one. That might be a good thing. I don't know. But, or when you're stressed out with traffic, you might just need to, before you go into that store, you might just need to take an extra 5 minutes, put on some worship music, and just worship the Lord for a minute. Come on. And just take a moment, chill, you know, come on, pause button on that thing. And just take time to run into his presence. And I'm convinced we don't do enough of that. I think we need to have a church that's disciplined in the art of knowing how to run to Jesus. Because, listen, you can't wait from Sunday to Sunday. You don't need to wait till Sunday to Sunday for somebody to stand up here and give you some scriptures. You need to be spending regular time in the Lord's presence, right? Right. EA and Janice have a room on the side of their house that's they call it a sunroom, I think it is. I would call it the Florida room, but it's in North Carolina. Anyway, it's a sunroom, and they got a bird feeder out there, and they got these roses out there. And I was thinking about that. That would be a nice place. Just, you need a place where you can just sit and look at some birds and listen to some music and just have a conversation with the Lord. You see, I think sometimes we think about prayer sometimes as this real religious activity. You come in and you do this hard-nosed kind of stuff. Look, God just wants to talk with you. God just wants to spend time with you, right? When you're in the midst of that stressful moment when, you know, the texts are coming in and the calls are coming in and the emails are coming in and people are knocking at your door and ringing your doorbell and all everything's happening at once, to pull back and just say, Lord, I thank you. Before I send this text, before I make this phone call, I know that you're with me. And I'm glad that I just want to spend some time just telling you, I thank you that your peace is right here with me in the midst of all this, right? So we need to spend time with the Lord. Take time. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Or another translation says, whose mind is stayed on thee. It's stayed on you, Lord. My mind is fixed on you. And the Bible says, you will keep that person in, look at that, perfect peace. Perfect peace. So if you want to have perfect peace, you need to understand the art and the discipline of meeting with God, of keeping your mind on him even in the midst of it all. I'm just giving you some scriptures that will show you how we can get the favor of God and therefore his peace at the same time. You need to be forgiven. You need to receive his pardon. Secondly, you need to run to his presence. Third, and that is, respect God's principles. Respect God's principles. Some of us are violating God's principles. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. You're forgiven. You've received Jesus, but you're violating God's principles in his word. And let me just say this. There is a trend. Let me just sit down for this one. There is a trend in this generation. We're living in a generation that really wants the Bible to be altered to fit how we live today. You know, the Bible says no, and but the Bible was written 2,000 years ago, and it just didn't know what we're going to have, the issues that we're having today. It didn't know it was different back then. It didn't know the issues that we would be having today, and it just needs a little context, and we need to change that a little bit. Let me stand back up and say no. No, the Bible does not need to change. The fact is, we need to change. Hello, can I get a good amen? A better amen right there, right? And that's our whole problem. So we need to respect God's word. Look at Psalm 119. Get this, great. Everybody say great. Didn't mean to scare you. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. You want to have peace? Respect God's word. Respect his principles. And here's what he's offering. Great peace to those who buy into the principle of God's word. I want to encourage you, folks. It's simple. And we're trying so hard to make this simple. Because oftentimes we complicate this thing. Read God's word. Obey God's word. Come on. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's a little song we used to sing. I mean, really. Read God's word. Obey God's word. Live it out and trust it. And I don't care how crazy it sounds, do it. It works. I was sharing with somebody, there's always a blessing attached when we obey God's word. And guess what? When we disobey, there's always a blessing we miss. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. And when we don't obey, there's something that we have missed that we're sacrificing, a blessing that we have sacrificed if we don't obey God's word. Come on. Obey God's word. Today is water baptism. You may have not even come prepared today. But you know that you've received Jesus in your heart and you need to take a next step. Guess what? We're going to offer spontaneous baptism today. That means you can go home wet. Isn't that great? That means if you didn't bring any extra clothes and you want to be water baptized today, you don't have to. Look, there's water available. We can baptize you. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, you know what? Obeying Jesus sometimes doesn't always make sense to us. But we're saying, God, I'm going to obey you. And baptism is like that first step. That first step. You're born again. And you've accepted Jesus, but you realize, yeah, I got to follow you. I got to obey your word. And so it's like that first step. There, Lord, I'm showing I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. And so, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later about what all that means about water baptism. But I encourage you today. Look, if God says stand on your head and spin like a top, do it. Now, he didn't say that, so you don't have to do that. But I'm just saying, whatever he says to you, as Mary said to the servants at the first marriage, you remember when they were turning the water into wine? She said, whatever he says to you, do it. Pour a bunch of water into a bunch of pots. Why? Don't ask why. Just do it. Just do it. And they did it. And then what happened upon their obedience, the water was turned into wine. God put their natural became supernatural. Oh, come on, y'all. That's good stuff. Right? Okay. I mean, go all out. Go all out. We got some people around here that are going all out, right? We got some people going to be water baptized today. They're going all out. Hey, and guess what? Get into a church. Be a part. Today is Church 101. You could not have picked a better Sunday to come. This being on the first Sunday of every month, we have Church 101. It's an opportunity for you to come in, kick the tires, find out who we are, what we're going to be about. So as soon as water baptism is over, we're going to have Church 101, and we're going to have a meal. You got to eat somewhere. Hang out with us. We should tell you about what we're doing around here, about some of our history, our vision, what we're doing as a church, and just how you can connect to that if you'd like to do that. But get involved somewhere. It may not be here. May not be this church. But get in a church somewhere and be a part and go all out, man. Be a part of what God's called you to do and find His purpose for you. We'll help you with that through our growth track that we have here each month. But listen, go all out. Go all out. And through that obedience to God's word, here's what you're going to experience. You're going to experience peace. You're going to experience peace. Right? Look at number four. Rely on God's provision. Rely upon God's provision. Philippians chapter 4 says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand." In other words, don't worry, pray. And as you pray, thank Him. Thank Him. And acknowledge Him. And the Bible says that there will be great, great peace. What am I trying to encourage you to do? Run to God. Run to God and give Him everything. What you need is not just another message, church. What we need, listen to me. You don't need just another message, or if they would sing better, or the pastor would preach better, or whatever, this, that. Look, all we need is to go after God. To go after God. If there's pain in your life, He offers healing. If there's financial struggles, He's been there. He understands all that. If you're weighted down with a burden, or if you have the weight of sin upon you, He has the ability to pardon you. And that's the place to start if we really want peace, is that place of pardon. It's saying, God, I can't handle all this myself. I can't pardon myself. I can't fix this myself. But there's something not right. But God, I know that You have the ability to come in. You have the ability to heal me. You have the ability to set me free. Amen? So today, I want to give an opportunity for pardon to happen in this place and for people's names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here's what I like to do. I like to pray a prayer with you. If you're here today and you need prayer, or you need peace, and it begins with this: peace with God. Peace with God. I want to offer that to you today. And it's so simple, and yet it'll cost you everything. Because you got to let go of your past, and you got to let go of who you are, and or who you think you are. But you're going to find who you really are in Him. You're going to have a future that's not even going to compare to your past. And God's going to begin a new thing in you. Here's what Jesus did. That He came that you might have life and life to the fullest. That means that you should be enjoying life. It shouldn't just be a struggle of anguish and turmoil and pain. And yes, while that is all around us, in the midst of that, there is a place of peace that we can have in Jesus. And that's what He's offering to you today. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed for just a moment. And I just want to lead those of you in a prayer that need to pray that kind of prayer, saying, God, I want You to come and pardon me. I want to lead you in a prayer. Now, it's got to be your prayer. It's got to be from your heart, but I'm just going to help you with the words, okay? But if you sincerely need to pray this prayer and pray this prayer in faith to the Lord, I'm telling you, your life is going to change in Jesus' name. He's going to set you free. He's going to pardon you. You'll never be the same. Today is going to be a new beginning. If that's you today, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I will not embarrass you. All I'm asking you to do, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is just to simply slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Would you include me in that prayer? Come on right now. Just slip up a hand. Those of you that need that right now, God bless you. Yes, God bless you today. Anyone else? Just say, Pastor, just count me in. Count me in. Come on, be bold. Be Be courageous today. Just slip up a hand and you can just put it right back down. Anyone else? Over here, yes, God bless you today. Proud of you. So proud of you. Come on, anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Those of you that need to pray this prayer, right there in your heart to the Lord. You can pray it under your breath or pray in your heart, but just pray this prayer to the Lord and mean it. Just pray something like this. Lord Jesus, today I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Come inside and make me a new person. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. You paid the price of sin for me so I wouldn't have to pay for it. I accept your payment. It's payment in full. Pardon me now. Set me free. Thank you for forgiving me of my past and giving me a new future. And today, I will follow you. And I declare you as the Lord of my life. And I will follow you all the days of my life as you enable me to do so. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and living inside of me. I'm a new person because of your love. I accept your gift of peace now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for each person that just prayed that prayer. And God, I celebrate what you have done inside of them today. God, you honor their prayer. You honor their faith. God, and you have come. And you, oh God, have begun a new work in them, Lord. Thank you for making them brand new today. Thank you for your peace now. Enable them to walk it and live it out. Oh God, I thank you for each one now in this church. And I pray, Father, peace be known in this house. God, your peace be known in every situation. God, may we know that you are in the midst of it all and you're working all things together for our good. And we thank you for your peace. And by faith, we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody. Let's give God praise. Amen. 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 Amen.